Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. As we continue our discussion about our church's distinctives, for this episode, we focus on the distinctive that justice and mercy matter. Todd Jordan and I consider what we mean by this and why this distinctive matters for the mission and health of GBC now and going forward. Because in a world that often wants the kingdom without the king, as Jesus's church, we're to be a people of the king who reflect his kingdom. This episode, we want to discuss, continue to discuss our distinctives as a church, as GBC, and just to make sure before we dive in on this specific distinctive, just by way of reminder and refresher, when we talk about distinctives, this isn't Gresham Bible Church trying to take a certain market share, how we're competing against other churches in the marketplace. These are things that we see in Scripture that are true of churches and want to be true in our church. So things that should be true of us, so kind of the floor idea, and then things we want to continue to excel still more in and aspire to over the weeks and months and years as well. So just real quick, if you haven't heard us talk about our distinctives yet, that's the heart of where we're coming from. All right, brothers, this week we are going to dive into and discuss our distinctive justice and mercy matter. So let me read it for us real quick. Justice and mercy matter. We seek to display God's heart for justice by pursuing gospel reconciliation across racial, economic, generational, and political divides, and by being a blessing to the least of these in our community, the immigrant, trafficked, poor, abused, overlooked, addicted, widowed, and especially to the unborn and to the orphan. And then we give some verses, including Micah 6:8, to support those statements. All right. That's a lot of preamble. Here's how I want to enter the conversation. What if Gresham Bible Church were to plant a church someday, or what if this were true of us, that our distinctive says justice and mercy don't matter, or kind of matter? Would that be okay for a church to say justice and mercy don't matter, and then that's going to slingshot us into the conversation? Why would a church say justice and mercy don't matter?
Why would they?
Yeah.
Why would they? I suspect in our culture they would be concerned about an abandonment of the proclamation of the gospel, mm-hmm. where the social gospel has replaced the articulated announcement of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save sinners. I think that's why they would. I hope they wouldn't, but...
Yeah, yeah. So it would be kind of a caution or reaction against mm-hmm. the social gospel.
Yeah, which is part of evangelicalism's DNA. Back to in the late 1800s, early 1900s, with the fundamentalists versus the liberal Christians, their term for themselves, not a pejorative. And how the liberal church abandoned the gospel and pursued a social gospel, is what we would call it, a gospel of the kingdom of God reduced to the brotherhood of man and mm-hmm. the fatherhood of God. And why preach the gospel when you can dig a well? Why preach the gospel when you can build an orphanage? The fundamentalists reacted strongly against that. The evangelical movement, or what maybe we'd call the neo-evangelical movement, came about in the post-World War II America as trying to reorient the fundamentalist mission to say we can't abandon justice mm-hmm. and we can't abandon culture. So it is part of our DNA to maybe even say we don't care about justice and mercy, because we're so used to reacting against liberalism, mm-hmm. even if people aren't aware that that's where the church was at 120 years ago.
Yes.
130, 140.
Yeah. I so appreciate you speaking to that, whether people know that or not. There's reasons why mm-hmm. there might be a reaction, and maybe even in the life of our church could be a reaction to hear, oh, I'm at a church that says justice and mercy matter. That can mm-hmm. trigger certain things in us sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if we say justice and mercy matter, we're doing that against a backdrop of the past 80 to 100 years mm-hmm. from an evangelical perspective, what would maybe be some of those things you'd get out on the table to say, yeah, here's why I could appreciate or understand maybe why someone that would maybe give them question or concern or pause. Oh, this church says justice and mercy matter. It's just kind of, we won't be exhausted, but what are some reasons why someone may have questions or even concerns about that, kind of to play off of what you were speaking to, Todd. So I'll go off one. So sometimes the word justice, right? Let's define our terms. Mm-hmm. What do we mean? Yeah. So I can't think of in our cultural moment or world, someone that says justice is a bad thing. And then it kind of mm-hmm. gets hijacked for different causes and different mm-hmm. purposes. So in some mm-hmm. way, we have to not just throw it around as a buzzword, but to say, for a local church, Gresham Bible Church, justice and mercy matter because we're speaking about it as the Bible speaks about mm-hmm. it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Are there other things that come to mind from your experience or just perspective about why someone would maybe, ooh, justice and mercy matter, that gives me pause or a reaction towards that?
I think if people are bringing in political and cultural ideas, baggage to the term, you know, like you can immediately start to make divisions of, well, like which justice issues are more important than others, or, you know, like we have specifically within our distinctive, you know, taking care of both immigrants, poor and unborn children. And like, depending on which political party that you, seem to side with the most could have radically different views of how to handle those situations. Yep. And so so someone could come with a preconceived notion of if we're using the word justice, then I bet this church thinks this, this, and this about every topic issue that comes up, which may not be the case. And so if we're not using a biblical view of justice, then yeah, it can get distorted pretty quickly. And mm-hmm. so I think, you know, the fact that we have this as a distinctive, we put it out there that we've done a sermon on it, we're doing a podcast on it, is probably helpful that we're not just letting people make full-on assumptions about what that means to us.
Yeah.
I think there's something too of like, there's a desire for us inside of us, I think from the image of God that's on all of our hearts for justice, for things to be right and for evil to be punished and wickedness to have consequences. We see that God is very for that throughout scripture. Mm-hmm. But I think there's been a swing in the last several years. We're trying to make this episode timeless. So hopefully maybe this is a timely thing and this will go away. But like with cancel culture stuff, we mm-hmm. want justice, but we never want forgiveness, which is an interesting mm-hmm. side of things as well. So when we talk about justice, we're not just talking about punish, punish, punish. There has to be repercussions mm-hmm. and consequences. It's more of the idea of like making things right mm-hmm. is when we talk about justice and especially in these areas, and ultimately leads to justice for our sin and to be made right with that. And a big part of that is that there is forgiveness that's a part of it as well. So
yeah.
Even within the context of justice, forgiveness comes with it too. And I think that's a, you know, God's holding justice and mercy in his character. And yeah. We try to do that too.
Yeah, that's really good. It's really good. Yeah, it seems like no matter what you can say as a individual Christian or a local church, you're in somewhere in some sort of pendulum swing. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not in isolation or in a vacuum. So to know the backdrop and to be aware of how evangelicalism even came to be as kind of a reaction towards the social mm-hmm. gospel. But then sometimes that pendulum, if you're not careful with the best of intent, can swing so far, maybe you're outside exactly what scripture would speak to mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
Let me throw out some stuff just to kind of keep the conversation moving. So in the sermon we had about this distinctive, We talked about just kind of a pattern or theme throughout scripture that some people have called the quartet of the vulnerable. So who are the vulnerable? And then throughout scripture, it's often the widow, the orphan, the alien or immigrant, and the poor. Mm-hmm. I just want to read us two verses about that real quick. In Proverbs 31, 8 and 9 says, "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy." So the mute, the destitute, etc. There's an active sense to that. And then, or in Jeremiah 22, 3, "Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed, and do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place." And those aren't just proof texts. Those are just examples of themes that we see throughout scripture. So I guess to kind of pull this stuff together, we're saying justice and mercy matter. And here's like a scope. They matter because these are real people that fit these real categories throughout time in scripture and in our day today. So how do you think like this distinctive actually fleshes out in the life of a church? Like we say it matters. What does that mean for us as a specific local church? Does that make sense? Like to me, just thinking about our podcast could feel like a bumper sticker. Mm-hmm. What does this actually mean, right? Thoughts?
Well, you can often tell what a church values by looking at their budget. Mm-hmm. So what are we investing our treasure in, the treasure that God gives us? You know, certainly money, but time is a big one, effort. Mm-hmm. Not all important things the church does costs a lot of money, but they'll definitely cost our other treasures, time, yeah, involvement and such. And so it seems to me that a church that cared about justice and mercy would see evidence of that by what they're investing their time and their other resources in.
Yes.
Seems to me.
That's great. So resources would be a way to know, hey, is this actually true of us? Yeah. Other things or lenses that you would see this through that, hey, if we're saying justice and mercy matter, okay, how do we see that they matter to us in the normal life of our church?
Yeah. I mean, we already had a culture before making this an actual distinctive of lots of foster and adoption care has happened in GBC, probably at a higher percentage and degree than you find in the most common congregation. That was something that just kind of organically happened. It seemed like over the 17 years that GBC has been a church, of one family did it. And I don't know if the next family was inspired by the previous one, but there were support systems that started to be put in place to do that. But as a whole, the church, even those who weren't taking children into their home, are identifying, yes, this is an important thing that we're doing. And so we want to support families. And so that's led to us creating foster and adoption support teams that we have. I can't remember what the last count was at, like 60 or 70 people, I think, that are on FAST teams that are assigned to specific families that have foster or adopted kids in it. And they help literally support the physical needs of that family, whether it be through babysitting nights to let mom and dad get away, or hangouts, or, you know, if there are food, meals, whatever that comes up. I mean, so we're putting into practice the things that we say actually matter.
Yeah,
so it's not a bumper sticker that says GBC cares about justice and mercy. Like, no, we care about it, so we actually do it. And yeah, it's been really cool that we've created these teams. And that just immediately comes to mind. I think it's one of the coolest ministries that we have here at Gresham Bible Church.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just reflecting on these categories too, and pastorally at GBC, I'm just so thankful to the Lord. It's evidence of God's grace in us. It's not anything we bring to the table. It's His grace in the life of our church, and praise God for it. And may it continue to flourish and excel still more and grow in and through us. Yeah, I'm with you, Jordan. It's so encouraging to see the number of members that are involved and how we care for one another. Like, yeah, it's beautiful.
I just thought too, we do boxes of love. So that's helping put together boxes for mothers of newborn children, that's a ministry we've supported of doing things like that. We care for the unborn. We also care for the newly born and maybe a mom that's financially struggling. We've done Immigrant Connection, which is, it's a group of immigration lawyers in the Portland area who are also believers, that they are helping immigrants to our country do the legal process and fill out the right forms or whatever to become U.S. citizens. And a lot of those people that are doing that are refugees, asylum seekers. So I don't think we have anyone in our church that has, you know, that knowledge themselves personally of how can I help an immigrant escape from their country. But we have provided support because, hey, this is someone doing it and we can help be a part of it. And it's something that matters to us. So we're putting into practice. We're doing good, GBC. Doesn't mean we're doing perfect.
Yeah.
But we, it is really cool that we have these avenues and things that we've identified.
Yeah. Amen. And and praise to God on that. How about kind of thinking, processing what you're saying, Jordan? Justice and mercy matter. Is that part of the gospel or an implication of the gospel? Mm. Where would you categorize that? Justice and mercy matter. So we're talking about least of these, care for them, implication or part of the gospel? And that you could say leading question, but I'm just curious.
You say yes.
Yeah.
Let me give a rather long answer. If I don't mind here.
Not at all.
So justice and mercy, certainly it would be part of the gospel. And we're talking about the justice of God towards sinners and the mercy of God towards sinners. So that's very much the case. It also becomes a part of the gospel when we're thinking about the gospel of the kingdom, which is the gospel that you actually read about coming from the lips of Jesus and his apostles. So, you know, believe these things, you get to go to heaven when you die. That's closer to an implication of the gospel almost. And it's certainly, you're not going to read that in any sort of altar call that we find in the New Testament. We won't find actually too many altar calls at all, if you want to call them that. So the Jesus went around preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And I fear sometimes that what we have done is we have, we've shortchanged the mission of God to save sinners as making it just about the salvation of me. So I get to go to heaven when I die. But really God is doing something far bigger than that. And justice and mercy play a part in that. This kingdom of God, dominates the biblical storyline. It wasn't really in the Old Testament. It wasn't really called the kingdom of God that much. You won't see that collocation of words that often, very rarely, but certainly at some point in time, the people of God, Israel, began anticipating this time that the prophets talked about, and their shorthand name for it must have been Kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Because when Jesus and John the Baptist show up on the scene, they preach, but they repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And at least in my Bible, I noticed no one raises their hand and says, what are you talking about? Right? What is this kingdom of God thing? So it must have had something to do with the messianic promises, the promises of the deliverance, that sort of thing. And so Jesus preaches this good news of the kingdom wherever he goes. And then he does these incredible signs and wonders. And we might be tempted to think that this is just something to attract a crowd so he can share the gospel with them, you know, like the four spiritual laws, and then you get to go to heaven when you die, and that's the most important part. And if you're going to accept the bread of Jesus, then you have to at least listen to his long sermon. But I think that would be to misunderstand the miracles of Jesus. Jesus never did like, hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat sort of tricks to get attention. His signs, the miracle, and they're signs of the kingdom, and John calls them that. But his miracles were all consistent with the kingdom of God. And he was really giving people a foretaste of what the coming kingdom would, the consummated kingdom would be like. Yeah. He's giving them a taste of it right then and there. So he heals people because in the kingdom of God, there is no sickness. He raises people from the dead because that's what happens in the kingdom of God. He treats people with kindness and mercy because the kingdom partakes of the nature of the king and the character of the king, and the king is good and mm-hmm. merciful and mm-hmm. kind. And so that's the way the kingdom is going to be. And all these miracles he's given, he feeds people because mm-hmm. in the kingdom of God, people don't go hungry. They just don't. Now there's a whole bunch of other reasons for that as well, which are tied into who we are as image bearers and such, and Israel's mission and that sort of thing. But I'm probably not even answering your question.
No, you are.
But it seems to me that one of the problems that we run into today is people just want the good stuff of the kingdom, like healing people and feeding people and that sort of thing, because that's always popular. It doesn't cost you anything to be against sex trafficking. You're going to be lauded as a hero
right.
for that.
Yeah.
Right. Where people struggle with is not the good parts, the benefits of the kingdom. They struggle with the king of the kingdom because Jesus mm-hmm. wants to get in people's business. Mm-hmm. And that call to repentance is not just something that's out there for other people. It hits us all. It runs right through our own hearts. And oftentimes what ended up happening with the social gospel movement, which I see with a lot of social justice that churches are involved in right now, is you're offering the benefits of the kingdom without the king.
Yep. Yeah.
And you just, they have to go hand in hand. Jesus was a word and deed guy, like perfect. Yeah. I mean, no one has ever like mastered that like Jesus, which is, of course, that would be the case with Jesus, but he was word and deed, perfectly integrated. And we don't integrate them very well, but mm-hmm. I mean, look, we're not as wise as Jesus clearly, but sometimes it's laughable, our attempts. We either preach the kingdom without the king or we preach the king without a kingdom. And,
yep.
and neither of those are the good news of the kingdom.
Preach, brother.
Yeah, yeah. So, absolutely.
Anyway, that was my long answer.
Yeah. I was thinking of
Amen.
If we, whoever this quote was misattributed to, of preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words. It's like, that's like a justice thing, right?
Yeah, it is.
Of like live it out at all times. Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
But you
don't be a hypocrite.
But you have to use words. Like otherwise we're just nice moralist people that are doing good things. But yeah, you need the king as the reason why we're doing those things. And if you go the other way, that we're just only hey, Jesus is the only thing that matters in your life, how does that help the poor, the widow, the orphan, the immigrant that are dealing with suffering and stuff right now? Yes, there's a hope and an answer to that, but like they also could use something right now in front of them. And so that starts to get into me, like faith without works is dead. If we say mm-hmm. we have faith and we're not doing anything with it, mm-hmm. even if you go to Matthew 25, 34 through 40 it's one of our verses that is mm-hmm. linked to, this distinctive, that's the whole thing of when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And they say, "What, Lord, when did we do that for you? I didn't see you." He said, "When you do it to the least of me, you're doing this to me." So we're like, Jesus literally lays out that word and deed going together there. And so for us, if we say this as a bumper sticker and we don't do it, then we're not doing it to Jesus. And we're missing the beauty of the kingdom of God, that it is about, we already talked about, lowering ourselves to elevate others is one of our past distinctives. That's part of what this is we have to mm-hmm. humble ourselves. We have to be uncomfortable and mess up our own calendars and give up some mm-hmm. of our resources and money because we understand this is for the kingdom. It's not for us. But then if we only do that and never say the reason why I'm doing this is because justice has been on Christ that I deserved and mercy has come to me instead, then what does it mean for them other than after he feeds the 5,000 and the next day they say, "Can we have more food?" And he says, "Well, I have the bread of life. Do you want that?" And no, we don't want that. We want food. It's like, okay, well then that's you're missing the point of what I'm trying to do here for you.
Yeah, so, amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It strikes me too, thinking of Matthew and Matthew 7, where, these people say, "Hey, we did all these things." So maybe even justice things
mm-hmm. yeah.
that would get a lot of publicity in our day and a lot of likes, even in Portlandia, but they didn't know Christ. They didn't know King. So yeah, to have kingdom without the king or king without the kingdom. Part of the reason we have this as a distinctive is whatever the distinctive says, it says, mm-hmm. but like what scripture says, and we want it to be true in us, to be true Christ followers and what that means for all of our life. I don't think we can talk about this enough because the pendulum seems to always swing one way or the other, at least mm-hmm. in my own heart. And mm-hmm. I think, broadly speaking, as well. How about we talk about in the distinctive thing, right? It says we seek to display God's heart for justice by pursuing gospel reconciliation across racial, economic, generational, and political divides. Not that any of those things are in our real world all around us all the time.
Ivory Tower discussion.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, right. Hypothetically speaking. Yeah,
hypothetical.
Yeah. Thought experiment stuff. Yeah. So like, how does the gospel help us inform these divides that are around us in our own hearts? I mean, the world continues just to sort on this, right? Mm-hmm. And just is dividing people, tribalism idea, even in the church. How would you help a newer believer, or maybe a believer that hasn't pondered the gospel enough recently to warm his or own heart to speak to? How does the gospel help us see these as divides, and rather than if we're seeing the world through the lens of the gospel? What do you think?
I mean, a common refrain against Christianity is that it's too exclusive and closed off of a religion, which my response to that has always been, Christianity is the most inclusive religion that's ever existed, because it doesn't matter what race you are, what gender you are, how much money you have, how old you are, or what your political beliefs are. You are welcome in the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. right? I mean, what is more inclusive than the only thing that's exclusive about it is that you cannot save yourself. Jesus has to be the mm-hmm. one that saves you. Okay, well, hopefully we can get past that, but the pride in our heart makes that difficult. Mm-hmm. So if we start from that point with a new believer or at our church, that everyone is welcome here, and Jesus is the great unifier of all people. How the world will know that we belong to Christ is the unity we display to one another. And if we can exemplify that through having old and young, different races, different genders, different economic mm-hmm. Stations of life, and different political beliefs, which we have at GBC. Mm-hmm. There are people that are far on the left and far on the right and smack dab in the middle. And guess what? We all show up on Sunday morning to praise Jesus and what he's done for us. So if we can start at that point and make that the focus above everything else, then man, that's the kingdom. That's what's so beautiful. And I think also, I think probably our biggest issue, maybe not today, it's probably been for a long time, we're always looking to other people to take care of these justice issues. And we get upset that our politicians aren't handling some certain issue the right way. Well, guess what? We can do it. Mm. But why are we assuming that America is going to solve all these problems? They're not, because they have different political beliefs. They don't have a great unifying aspect amongst all of our politicians because they don't all believe in Jesus. I hope they do. We should pray for them, right? But we do. So we can do what we can do. And one of my favorite illustrations is there was a young boy on a beach, and there's thousands of starfish on the beach, and he's picking them up and throwing them into the ocean, And finally, an adult lifeguard, whoever you want to be, stops by. He's like, kid, what are you doing? Why are you throwing these things in? There's so many. You're not going to make a difference. And picks up a starfish and he looks at it, he throws it in the ocean. He says, made a difference to that one. Like, we can't solve every person's problem, right? But we have Jerusalem, Judea, Samaritans of the earth. We have our Jerusalem right now. What can we be doing in Gresham right now? What can we be doing in East County, in Oregon, in the Northwest, in America, in the world, that there are things we can be doing? And if we just are sitting at home frustrated that others aren't doing it yeah. at all or the way we want to, well, that's not helping anything. And plus, we're hoping that politicians and stuff are going to solve these issues just from a perfect or just from a strictly physical point of things. But then we're getting to what Todd said earlier. There's no king behind that yeah. that we're getting to. So when we do it, I think it's even more impactful than policies, bills, laws that are making these things happen.
Yeah. 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 Thanks, Jordan. There's so much to this. I appreciate, as a member of GBC, that we talk about this and we say this is something we value, that justice and mercy matter. So it should be true of me individually as a believer, and then true for our church too. It's going to look different in different people's lives, but to seek to live into that and then just like juxtapose that against the world in which we find ourselves in our cultural moment, like a world that's filled with just division and a heart for justice both at the same time. Like mm-hmm. what an opportunity for the gospel mm-hmm. to shine. Yeah, just real quick, kind of just again, thinking about what we're saying. I'd recommend a book if people haven't had a chance to read it. It's called The Air We Breathe by Glenn Shrivner. I always butcher sure his last name. I think I pronounced it right. And he kind of takes and carries some of these ideas, people's heart for justice, all these things, and says, well, where did we get that idea? And then he walks it back to show it actually finds its roots and its engine from scripture and the gospel. And so if this is a conversation, maybe a member of GBC is like, yeah, my non-Christian coworkers talk about justice a lot, or your classmates, Glenn Shrivener's book would be a great book to read over the summer and understand more from an apologetic perspective about why this is a conversation we hear a lot about, but it's actual a gospel opportunity, like mission moment for us as Christians. Yeah. So that's an angle to this as well. What would you say, just real quick, keep in mind the clock, but if we had the awesome DeLorean from Back to the Future and we could punch in a date in the future, GBC 30 years from now, if Christ tarries, what would be the things you would want to be true of future GBC about justice and mercy matter? I can see different worlds, some good, some bad. How would you want justice and mercy to matter to the life of the future members of Gresham Bible Church? What would you say? What comes to mind? And I'm hoping New Heavens, New Earth to actually drive that DeLorean around. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I would say that those four disempowered groups that you were talking about, that, and Jesus seems to indicate that those are always going to be among us. Mm-hmm. He certainly said that about the poor, but you could say that about the other three as well, that we still have a heart for those because God has a heart for those people. It's very evident from the Old Testament. Israel was supposed to be like this attraction device to the nations. No real strong missionary mandate ever given to Israel, but definitely they were an attraction model. And what was supposed to attract the nations to Jerusalem to learn about this great God was their social justice. Mm-hmm. Just full stop. The way that they treated those whom other societies treated terribly, the kindness and mercy and with which they treated them was supposed to attract people to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God has not changed in that regard. He has sent his son to inaugurate this kingdom where he's going to right every wrong one day. And in the meantime, we should be concerned about those. And so I would like for there to be some evidence 50 years from now that Gresham Bible Church still cares about those whom society has deemed as too troublesome to bother with. And
amen.
You know, you mentioned the foster and adoption, and that was something that stood out to Camille and I right off the bat. I get to preach, and you know what it's like to look out at the congregation and see all those families. And it is an honor. It's moving to me. I pray that never changes.
Absolutely.
With the church. And then, of course, there's probably a myriad of other ways and things that we could be doing, but we should care about those things. Those categories haven't changed at all. The Lord still cares about them.
Yes.
And so we should too.
Yeah, good word. Amen.
Yeah, I hope if you looked at the budget, the calendar, and the ministries of GBC in 30 years— like you said in one of your first answers, that shows a lot about what matters, what the priorities are. And I hope that would show that GBC is not an inward focused church, that they take care of those within the church community, but there's a recognition of it so much more than that. And hey, maybe God willing, 30 years from now, GBC will have an actual building facility. And
I didn't even think about that my DeLorean proposition. Yeah.
I would hope, as we've always said, that facility would facilitate ministry, that amen. Whether that be a food pantry, a clothes closet or something for those that need stuff, that maybe it's a place that people come to, I don't know, a kid that can't afford tutoring is coming to get help on homework or whatever because they're not getting that support that they need. It's whatever, that we're using whatever God has blessed us with, not for ourselves, not for the good name of GBC, but for His glory.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
And I hope too, as we have this church 30, 50 years from now that is doing all these wonderful social justice things, that that the gospel will always be on our lips.
Absolutely.
And that we will be articulating and proclaiming the good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we'll be identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ every step of the way.
Yep.
So that, you know, like Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they see your good deeds and do what? Give praise to your Father in heaven. Well, we have to identify ourselves with that Father in heaven.
And then, yeah. This is why we're doing it.
Yep.
We are feeding you because we believe there is a King who has established, inaugurated a kingdom, who's going to return and consummate it. And in His kingdom, people don't go hungry because He is kind.
Amen, brother.
He is generous and merciful. And we are going to offer humanitarian aid. We're going to offer medical help because in the kingdom of God, one of the great impacts of sin is brokenness of health, and the gospel restores people, but restores them holistically. Mm-hmm. And so we are helping you because we believe there is a King who cares about your physical well-being. He cared so much that He was willing to die for you. And so that's why we're offering you dental
right
care or yeah. something, right? It ultimately goes back to the cross for us. It always has to. Yeah. And so I hope that we never become a kingdom without a King people, but the King's name is joyfully and Amen. Courageously and proudly on our lips with every cup of cold water and every well dug and every food basket given.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Unashamed of the gospel and all of it. I was thinking about answering my own question too, that amen to everything you guys said. And I think about the only world in which GBC could be the kind of church that is all about the King and His kingdom, not either or, and both together, is if we continue to feed on and love and treasure and apply the gospel to our own hearts mm-hmm. and in the life of our church. And that's the only engine that's sufficient for it. And I would offer to people that maybe there's those listening to this now or whenever you listen to it, like, yeah, that's great. Other people, I can see that in them. But like, where's the Lord maybe moving you to lay down some of your rights, some of your calendar, some of your resources to serve the least of these? I promise you, you will grow to love and treasure the gospel more, the King more, mm-hmm. as you're involved in His kingdom work. You don't have to have your life all put together. You don't have to wait till the future when things are better, when you're more stable financially or your family. Like, start laying your life down now and you start to love the King more and grow in it. So I just mm-hmm. hope that's true always in the life of our church, that we're marked by these things. Pray it's true for all the gospel loving churches in and around East County. Just what a time it would be in our cultural moment if churches and Christians were marked in this kind of way, unashamedly about the King and unashamedly about His kingdom work. That'd be beautiful. So yeah. Anyway, thanks for talking this through. I think we could talk about this for a long time, but yeah. All right. If that brings up any questions, comments, whatever, we would love to hear from you. So feel free to reach out in person, text, whatever, or you can always email me at mike@greshambible.org. And then periodically, always want to do this. Want to thank our friends at Humble Beast for the great music that we're able to use on the podcast. All right. Love you, Gresham Bible Church. Until next time.